Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast about podcasters talking about their favorite podcasts. I'm Kathy Campbell, and I'm joined today by two fabulous guests. We have Kelly Gamont and Monty Ashley. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, Kelly, if you can introduce yourself.
Hi, Kathy. So my name is Kelly Gamont, and you can occasionally hear me on some shows on the Incomparable Network. You can always hear me on my show on the Incomparable Network, which is Greetings from the Uncanny Valley, a Westworld podcast about the show. And the rest of the time, you can occasionally hear me once or twice a week on the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. And the rest of the time, you can hear me on my own show with Mike Rose called The After Show. And we will probably talk a little bit about how that came to be later on.
Perfect. And what about you, Monty?
I can be found on Twitter at Monty_Ashley. That's Monty with a Y, and Ashley spelled like it always is. I co-host The Villain Edit, a podcast about low to mid-tier competitive reality shows with Rias Hall. And I also appear pretty frequently on other shows on the Incomparable Podcast Network and beyond. I used to recap TV on Television Without Pity, and I still write for Previously.tv when they have an assignment for me. And I have a day job.
Fantastic. So you guys are a little bit busy, just a little bit during the day.
A little.
Just a little.
Yeah.
That's okay, because that just means you have more time for podcasts, right? For listening to them.
Yes, it does.
So how did you guys start listening to podcasts?
I started listening to podcasts. I can actually nail it down pretty specifically. I started out listening to the Tua Talkcast, which was the unofficial Apple weblog. They had a podcast they did once a week. And I started out listening to that because it was fun to hear what the people who wrote these stories about Apple News all week had to say about the Apple News. Because it's one thing to report it, and then it's another thing to sort of discuss it with other people and exchange those ideas. So I started out listening to that. And then I started out listening to a Lost podcast by a group called the Delta Park Project, which was... I say a group, but it's a couple, and they live here in the Portland area, and I'm friendly with them. And so they started doing a Lost podcast, and the reason that one is so monumental is because when they, after a while, when there were enough theories and stuff for Lost going around, they put out the call on Twitter for research interns. Like, we need people who spend way more time on this than we can. We have a new baby. Mm. So I was like, I'll do that. And they were like, okay. And so I started taking notes when I would watch Lost and sending them in, and they would read them. And then eventually they were like, do you all want to just record yourselves telling us what you want to tell us and then send that in? And so then I started doing that, got all set up to be able to record myself and send that off to them every week. And then eventually I got a gig at Tua, where I was one of the people writing. And so then they started inviting me to do that show. And so to me, sort of the two of them together, not only were my introduction to podcasting, like as far as regular listening, but also they were what got me into it myself.
Wow. I love the ties that most people's first podcasts tend to have to inspire them to start podcasting. It's really, especially when it's a direct link like that.
Well, and loads of people in Portland had podcasts, but they would start them, and it was, you know, it's where Pod Fade came from, I think, was Portland, because everybody did like 3 or 4 episodes of something that could have turned into something good, and they all just sort of gave up on it. Right. So there was a lot of that going on. So I've heard like 3 episodes of a bunch of different stuff before that, but as far as something that was like ongoing, those are the two that I have that I started with.
And when was that? What year did you start listening?
I started listening to the Talkcast in 2006. Huh. And then beginning of 2007 was I think the Lost show was 2007. And then I got on the Lost show later that year and got on the Talkcast in 2008.
All right. I've done some research. I know I was listening to some podcasts in 2006. because I was listening to Penn Jillette's radio show as a podcast.
Yeah. Then. I remember that one. It was great.
He would tell stories about circuses and stuff and monkeys. Good fun. That guy can talk. I was also listening to a podcast called Coverville, which I think still exists, which would basically
it does
just
indeed.
Take... Good for them, man. They are sticking it out. But I didn't really get heavily into podcasts until 2009, which is when I found Comedy Death Ray Radio, which has changed its name to Comedy Bang Bang since then. That led me to a website called aspecialthing.com and their forums, which kind of spread out my alt comedy tastes a bit. That led me to Never Not Funny, and that I'm positive was December 2009. And I started listening to Jordan and Jesse Go in March of 2010. And both Comedy Bang Bang and Jordan and Jesse Go have since accreted podcast networks around them. And right now, I am subscribed to 6 Maximum Fun podcasts and 7 Earwolf podcasts, not counting short-run podcasts behind their paywall.
Wow.
Wow.
That alt-comedy world is what led me into podcasting, and that's still mostly what I listen to.
I love the very specific like types of podcasts that people start. Like they're like, they find a podcast that they enjoy and then they're like, oh, alt comedy. Let's see what else I can find. And then it just kind of explodes and blossoms. It's so fascinating to me to watch. So Kelly, we know a little bit of the backstory of why you started making podcasts or the podcast mm-hmm. that you started making. What made you actually want to do the recording?
Well, part of it was just being asked directly as far as getting started as a guest on a show. Part of it was just Jason and Anna telling us on our mailing list for the, I think there's 5 of us that were research interns, just telling us, why don't you guys just record and we'll just let you say what it is you want to say instead of us having to read your notes. And I think it also made it easier for them because they could just drop an audio clip into the show and not have to like, read what we were telling them. So I think it was a convenience thing on their end, which I totally get. So that was how I got started recording myself. I went on Amazon and I went like, golly gee willikers, like $100 microphone is just insane. So, you know, I'm just shooting my mouth off for like 2 minutes at a time about Lost. Like I don't need like a whole microphone for that. So I started like mechanically, I started with Wiretap Studio, and well, I started with QuickTime and then wanted to be able to make my recording sound a little better. So then I got Wiretap Studio and I bought a $40 Logitech headset for notebooks, and it came with this little black hard travel box so I could throw it in my backpack or more regularly, wind it all up, put it in the box, and then like throw it under my desk until I needed it next week. Or, you know, 2 weeks, because there was a lot of hit and miss reruns with Lost at that point. And just being able to... So I just started out recording myself for Jason and Anna. And then because I had this headset, at one point, Mike Rose said, hey, Kelly, you're new. We should have you on the TalkCast and talk to you about, like, your love of Apple and how long you've been at this. And, you know, you're new and we can, you know, let the people meet you. And I was like, I have a headset. I am prepared for this. I have the tools you desire. So, yes, I can do this thing. And so I was on the show a few times, had a really great time being on it and not being the person in charge of it. And then Mike had to go out of town and he said, you know, you're one of the people who shows up regularly. Do you want to just try hosting it 1 week? And I went, oh, gosh, that sounds like a lot of responsibility. Okay. And that was how it, and so then I would host when Mike was out of town, and then Mike was out of town more, and then at some point he was like, why don't you just be the host, and then if you can't do it, you let me know. And I'm like, okay. And so then it sort of became my show.
It just kind of dropped into your lap from the very beginning. That's so great.
Basically, yeah, and the part of it that was sort of great was it wasn't, like, it was news I was reading anyway. So even if I didn't write the article about whatever, I could talk about it. So we talked, like, and it was also a really fun time technologically because we were talking about the very, very earliest days of the iPhone. And we were talking about, did you hear Apple might make this, like, tablet? You know, it would be like an iPhone, but really big. Like, ridiculous. What do you think that's going to be? What do you think that's going to be like? And so getting to be in the middle of that and getting to, and then the thing that sort of struck me, which I, because like retroactively, like I had no idea at the time, how many people really did read Tua and how many people really liked it. And I know that because, like, anytime I asked anybody to be on the show, like, hey, Ged Mayhew, who runs the Icon Factory, which is one of my favorite websites because you guys put out these great wallpapers and these awesome icon sets for OS 9, you know, and, like, I've loved them forever. And I'm like, hey, do you want to come on and talk about, like, what design is like when you have to do things for an iPhone? And he's like, of course I will. And I got Jim Dalrymple on and Renee Ritchie on and Andy Anatko on and all these people that, like, because I sort of didn't know any better, and I would just ask, and then they would just show up. And I had the best time, like, getting to talk to them and ask them all the stuff that I wanted to know anyway. And I have a lot, like, I have a long Apple history, so I was able to ask them questions about, like, their first computer and be able to follow, their first Apple computer and be able to follow up on that and ask about, like, what they did a long time ago and what they've seen the evolution be like. And so it was a really, really great way to sort of get to hang out and talk to people that I really wanted to be talking to anyway.
Right. Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, Monty.
Okay. This is a little complicated. my day job used to be at Wizards of the Coast, the people that make Dungeons & Dragons and also Magic the Gathering, which is what I worked on. In 1999... we're starting way back, I was the editor of Sideboard Magazine, which was a paper newspaper that was devoted to tournament coverage. Like, we would run pro tours all over the country, they still do, and in Sideboard Magazine, we'd talk about who won, what decks won, that sort of thing. We were very happy that ESPN2 had been talked into showing video coverage of the Magic World Championships.
Whoa,
I remember that.
And in 1999, I ran across an article on the internet making fun of this on the grounds that Magic players, by and large, aren't super athletic looking. It was a very mean article and also very funny. So I started reading the other articles on this site, really enjoying them and feeling like, boy, I really like the vibe of this site. Then I looked at the bylines. I'd been reading TV.org, that's TEEVEE.org, a site created by Jason Snell, at which he and his funny friends were writing about television. And the thing is, I know those guys. We all went to UCSD at the same time. I was writing on the UCSD humor newspaper with Steve Lutz and Philip Michaels, while Phil and Jason and a bunch of other people were at the respectable News Style newspaper.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So I was like, I was reading an article thinking, boy, I like the way this guy writes. Oh my God, it's Phil. Phil! So I started emailing them and sending them articles and bothering them until they let me join them. And they did. And TV went on for years until everyone kind of got tired of writing for it because we'd run out of things to say about television. In 2006, Jason launched the TV podcast, which you can still find on The Incomparable if you scroll back far enough. Like, right now, TV is where kind of episode-by-episode coverage of various shows happens. Jason and I and Brian Hamilton currently do Game of Thrones in that. But if you scroll all the way back, there's a handful of episodes from 2006 when he was launching the TV podcast.
So that's like four scrolls before you get carpal tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And don't worry, the direct link will be in the show notes, so you don't have necessarily scroll.
Kathy has thrown herself on that neurological damage.
I have. For you. You're welcome, listeners. You're welcome.
I wasn't on it back then because I was distracted by other stuff, mostly TV recapping for Television Without Pity at the time, I think. That was a long time ago. But that kind of petered out, and Jason decided that the TV focus was kind of limiting stuff, so he's launched The Incomparable, which I think was just blogs at first, and then he launched The Incomparable podcast, just what we now call the main show, in August 2010. And for episode 48 of that show, he invited me to be on it because they were talking about season one of Game of Thrones, which I was recapping for Television Without Pity. And then I got to be on more episodes until I was a regular member of The Incomparable. And then The Incomparable started adding other shows, and I got to be on them. And now I've been on a whole ton of them. Eventually, and we're jumping forward from there another 6 years or so, I felt bad both that I didn't have my own podcast, because all my friends have their own podcast. And also, I keep having to tell my girlfriend, Rias, I have to go be on a podcast. Which, you know, she also does podcasts. She's on a podcast called Don't Read the Latin about horror movies. She's going to launch another one soon about terrible horror novels that I'm super excited about. But we decided, why don't we just do a podcast together? And after kicking around ideas, we settled on crummy competitive reality shows, which is something I think I enjoy more than her, but that means she can be meaner about them than I am. And that's what The Villain Edit is. It's kind of modeled on Lazy Doctor Who on The Incomparable, or Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies, in that we just record it when we want, and then we immediately put it out. You guys who edit are chumps.
I love The Villain Edit so much because I, too, am a big fan of trashy competitive reality television, and so listening to you guys talk about it just makes me happy. So whenever I get a notification that there's a new episode, it makes me grin, and I'm like, and I pretty much, that's one of the shows that I go immediately to listen to, just because I can't wait to hear people talk about shows that I secretly really enjoy. I guess not so secretly now.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so now we get down to the meat and potatoes, the main question of this entire show. Kelly, what is your favorite podcast, yes, and why do you love it?
I think, so I sort of have to have two answers to this, because one of my favorites right now is the Westworld podcast I do with Dawn. So that comes with all the disclaimers of it's my show. But the reason I love it so much is because, first of all, Dawn and I have a complete blast recording it. But second of all, it happened completely randomly, because I was like casually acquainted with Dawn Melton on Twitter. And I saw him tweet about having listened to like the third podcast in a row that got the Westworld book and movie in the wrong order. And I said, well, it was, and he wrote the book based on the movie, not the other way around, right? And Don was like, right. And I said, doesn't everybody know that? And he said, no. And then I said something like, clearly I should start a podcast, because also my husband is really tired of listening to me tell him all of my crazy theories about this show. And Don said, are you seriously going to start a podcast? And I'm like, yes, with you, just to see what would happen, right? And he was like into it. He said, I can't edit, but I will absolutely sit and talk about Westworld with you. And so it randomly happened, and it couldn't be more exciting. And it's one of the things that I do that's easy to explain to other people, because they've heard of Westworld, and Don wrote Safari, basically. If you skip a few steps in the middle that most non-technical people don't care about, I can point out, like, you know, the web browser on your phone, because all my family has iPhones. Yeah, the guy that wrote that, I do my Westworld podcast with that guy. And then they're like, oh. So that's probably my personal favorite. That one is the dearest to my heart. My favorite to listen to this moment, and this does change all the time, but my favorite to listen to this moment is Slow Burn from Slate, because they're sort of recapping what the Watergate stretch of the Nixon presidency was like. And a lot of the stories that were huge deals at the time, if you were a person who lived through it, like, nobody knows those stories now. So just the first episode is about this woman who was a very big deal, who was a very important part of the investigation of the American fabric at that time. She was a person that people knew who she was. And she was, you know, aside from the fact that she was married to a powerful guy. And it was just this whole heartbreaking story about this one woman that was a very big deal at the time that now, like, if I can't even remember her name, but if I told you her name, you probably wouldn't know who she was unless you were like a Watergate history buff. So it's been interesting to listen to that because I'm trying to find, I've always been a little bit interested in Watergate because I feel like that was a fundamental turning point in America and it happened before I was born. And so the world that I live in and the world that my dad lives in, where he remembers what things were like before Watergate and what things are like now, those are very different worlds. And so I'm interested in what it was that made that change outside of All the President's Men, because like I read that ages ago and I've seen the movie and all of that. So I wanted to hear more about like the presidency itself and what that world was like. So the Slate podcast is a really so far it's been a really interesting way to do that. And it moves along at a reasonable pace. And they do have a paywall where you get like a bonus episode every week. And I'm actually considering paying for it just because I want to find out the extra stuff on those. So that's my favorite right now.
I love it. And so if you were on a desert island and you could only listen to one podcast, would that be your podcast?
No, it would probably be Mac Power Users because there's 400 episodes of that right now.
Cheating, but I will allow it.
But otherwise, I like the one I would take on a desert island is probably Welcome to Night Vale, honestly. Because there's just so much there. And like, if you listen to an episode again, you hear different things or you notice different things. So I would probably take that because the re-listening value is very high.
And that is why that is not the main question that I ask on what podcast would you take on a desert island? Because I have a feeling that most people I talk to would give something similar to that about all of the episodes. Give me all of them.
Yes.
All right, Monty, what's your favorite podcast?
I also have two answers, because apparently that's allowed, and I'm doing it. My favorite podcast that I'm currently listening to is probably still Comedy Bang Bang, because I've listened to all of its 500-plus episodes, most of them multiple times. It's an improvisational podcast. Host Scott Aukerman has a mix of celebrity guests and comedian guests who are doing wacky characters, and it starts off like an interview and then it goes in weird improvisational directions. Every episode isn't great, but there is a magic to hearing people improvise and stumble upon something brilliant and then investigate it and really tease out the great stuff in it. And they have time to do that in the podcast format. And having listened to it for so long means there are characters that I've been listening to for almost 10 years, and they evolve and add to their backstories. And it turns really rich and interesting, I think, when something that's improvised in the moment also starts to have its own long history to build off of. So I still really, really enjoy that show. And every week I get one or two new episodes and I'm always delighted by them. But my favorite podcast ever has to be the Thrilling Adventure Hour. This podcast doesn't exist anymore because everybody who worked on it, I think, got too busy. This was a new time podcast in the style of old time radio. Every episode, they would do staged readings of of what was like an old time radio show in Los Angeles, and then chop them up for podcast purposes. So every episode is a different segment. The two big segments they would do were Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars, which starred Mark Evan Jackson, who can currently be seen on The Good Place and also Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and a couple of other things. He was Sparks Nevada, the Marshal on Mars. He was accompanied by Croach the Tracker, who was a parody of Spock and also Tonto. What they would do right at the top of every episode is Sparks Nevada would say, "I'm from Earth." I'm sorry, he would say, "I'm from Earth." And then Croach would say, I am from Galoot Proctaw. And then Sparks would complain that it's called Mars, and Croach would say, oh, you designated Mars. It's Galoot Proctaw. So they were kind of playing with the inherent racism of the native companion trope. And the two of them were obviously in love, but also squabbled a lot. And both of them were also in love with the Red Plains Rider, played by Busy Phillips. And there were a bunch of other characters, and it was all great. The other main segment, which was my favorite thing that has ever existed, was Beyond Belief. And that starred Paul F. Tompkins and Paget Brewster as Frank and Sadie Doyle, Toast of the Upper Crust, headliners on the Society pages, and oh yes, they see ghosts. Basically, they are a parody of The Thin Man in that they are defined, one, by their love for each other, two, their enthusiastic alcoholism. These characters drink constantly. To the extent they have a catchphrase, it's the clink of their glasses touching, which happens several times an episode. And they are defined by their complete refusal to be afraid of any ridiculous spooks or ghosts or whatever trope they're caught in. There's a great musical episode where genies show up, and one of the genies is played by J.K. Simmons, and the genies are stymied by Frank and Sadie's refusal to make wishes that they can turn into ironic endings.
Oh my gosh, I need to go hear this show now.
I would jump straight to episode 5 of Thrilling Adventure Hour, which I think is the second Beyond Belief episode. It's called Wishing Hell. It's a takeoff on It, and Sadie's reaction to Nightmares the Evil Clown is so great. It is just amazing. And I want to emphasize that one of the reasons Frank and Sadie are great is that Sadie is at least as capable as Frank. There is a point in where there's a vampire plot, and for complicated reasons, two vampires have to fight to the death, and either Frank or Sadie has to join them. Frank says, I'll do it. And Sadie says, are you selflessly offering yourself up in my stead because you think there's a possibility I may lose? And Frank says, well, of course not. Carry on, dear. And then, of course, she doesn't lose because Sadie is great. There are a number of other segments that Thrilling Adventure Hour did. There was Amelia Earhart, Fearless Flyer, the Cross-Time Adventures of Colonel TikTok, Captain Laserbeam, Down in Moonshine Holler, which was a hobo-themed plot. It's just a really fun show. It was scripted by Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, who were writers for Supernatural at the time, I think. The whole cast is great. I listened to the entire run at least 3 times. They did cross over with Welcome to Night Vale, incidentally, since you mentioned them.
Yeah.
They did 2 live shows, one of which was at Emerald City Comic Con, so I got to watch it actually happen.
Nice.
Oh, well, nice.
And I just love Thrilling Adventure Hour so much. I'm sad that it's gone, but like I say, everybody who worked on it is very busy and probably doesn't have time for a monthly stage show at this point.
Right, because that takes a lot to plan out, not just the story, but like location and audience, and having a physical recording that's got to be rough to try and schedule together.
And the live music.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was live music. Of course, throw in live music and that just makes everything extra complicated. That's insane. But now I, too, need to go listen to it. I love getting new recommendations and new tips from people that love the podcast, which is the main reason that I wanted to do this show, was to get other people to tell me their favorite podcasts so that I could add more to my queue. And so it's a very selfish reason, but I'm okay with this. So my final question is going to be the surprise question. And so get ready. Get your minds ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. Okay. So you wake up. You've just witnessed some sort of mob murder or something, and you have to go into witness protection. But you get to choose your name. What do you choose?
Uh, I already chose this name.
I know. I know, Monty. That was so sorry that you already got to do this in real life, but now you get to pick something. I was going to say even more outrageous, but Monty isn't that outrageous. It's just Monty Python is outrageous.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm coming up completely, because everything I come up with isn't like a name that a person would have.
All I can think of is Pip Strebeck, and that's Tom Hanks in Dragnet. Yes. That's not a good.
And all I can think of, like, one of the glasses I picked up when Trader Vic's closed here, some of the marking on the outside has rubbed off, so it says Trader Vi. And I just want somebody to write a comic book that's like Trader Vi, International Woman of Mystery. And so, like, that's all I can think of is Trader Vi, International Woman of Mystery. Or, you know, stuff like Anastasia Beaverhausen, which is Karen's alias on Will and Grace.
Right.
You know, ridiculous stuff that people don't actually use, so.
Can I call myself the Platinum Cowboy? I think that has a nice ring to it.
It absolutely
does.
We're basically in a cyberpunk world, right?
Yes. At this point, perfect. Yeah. All right, so those are, Anastasia Beaverhausen and Platinum Cowboy?
The Platinum Cowboy.
The Platinum Cowboy.
Yes.
Anastasia Beaverhausen will be away for a moment updating Monty's contact information in my phone.
Hey, you didn't ask me the Desert Island question.
Okay, fine, Monty. What podcast, if you were stuck on a desert island, what podcast would you take with you?
I have some questions about this. Do I just get the archive that exists to now, or do I get new episodes when they are released?
There is a magical internet that provides access to a single podcast, so you will continue to receive the updates.
But like no in SOS. Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Exactly.
Okay. In that case, I think I would want something that updates like several times a week. I'm going to say Never Not Funny, because they have two episodes a week and they're pretty long. Yeah, Never Not Funny.
Nice.
Sorry, Comedy Bang Bang, you don't update often enough for this scenario.
Well, what would Comedy Bang Bang be your answer if it was not magical internet?
Well, yeah, if I could just listen to the episodes that existed so far, I think I would just take the 500 plus whatever episodes of Comedy Bang Bang and re-listen to them until I went crazy.
Nice. Perfect. Well, thank you, Platinum Cowboy and Anastasia Beaverhausen, for joining me on this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Kelly at Verso, that's V-E-R-S-O on Twitter, and Monty is at Monty_Ashley, and links will be in the show notes, of course. And you can find me at Mrs. Soup. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day.